A reading from the Gospel of St. John. Jesus said to the Jews, "If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another one who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. Now, I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And moreover, the Father who sent me has testified on my behalf, but you have never heard his voice nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think you have eternal life through them, and even they testify on my behalf, but you do not want to come to me to have life. I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you do not accept me. Yet if another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept praise from one another and do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" The Gospel of the Lord. Well, courtroom dramas are ever popular in book and in film and on television, aren't they? Lincoln Lawyer, Kramer versus Kramer, To Kill a Mockingbird, In Cold Blood, The Crucible. We could go on and on. Our Western legal system and our thirst for entertainment thrive on that adversarial atmosphere of the court and the moral dilemmas that frequently arise. The old Jewish legal system was a bit different. Village and small town life made it difficult for a lawbreaker to get away with much. But there was a procedure to be followed. Supposing I was accused of some crime, say, stealing a donkey, I might have to appear before an elder to answer the charge. And while I could speak on my own behalf, my own words were not in Jewish law deemed to be reliable. It was far more important to have other people who could speak on my behalf. In Jesus' case, he had healed a man on the Sabbath. Under Jewish law, breaking the Sabbath could lead to the death penalty. And in law, Jesus could not excuse himself for his behavior. Others were needed to testify on his behalf. And the point Jesus makes here is that four powerful testimonies are available for the Pharisees to consider. This is the testimony of John the Baptist. This is that of the actual activity that Jesus has been doing. This is the testimony of God, the divine voice that speaks to those who care to listen. And last, this is the scriptures that the Pharisees put so much reliance on. But these Jewish authorities ignore, reject, discount all these testimonies. To a certain degree, you could say, maybe it wasn't all their fault. They were immersed in a culture that taught them to view people's behavior through a narrow frame. The truth of the big picture was simply not there for them to see. happens to all of us, doesn't it? We're all embedded in a culture that restricts our view. Remember that word, embedded? You may recall it being used during the Iraq War, when some journalists were able to get near the front lines by being embedded in the military machine. And of course, their stories were slanted, at times even dishonest, because the military culture that enveloped them prevented them from seeing the whole picture. In our everyday lives, we are embedded in a culture that influences our perception of what is true and what is false. So much so that when someone does manage to step outside that culture, it can surprise us. In my country, after a person has been convicted and sentenced for some terrible crime, the media keenly seek out the victim's family to ask their reaction to events, normally tears and anger and vindictiveness. But occasionally, an injured person says something different, like, "Well, I'm sad, but anger solves nothing, and I have already forgiven this person for what he did." Isn't it a wonder to hear words like that? Thank goodness there are folk about who are able to step aside from the routine judgments of our world and speak the truth. Thank goodness for people like Dorothy Day and Oscar Romero, Franz Jagostata, Desmond Tutu, Helen Prejean, those who can challenge us to make us ask, is this immersion of my own culture hindering me from seeing the truth, obscuring the face of God in my life? We need always to be aware of the bigger picture that fills the universe outside the narrow frame of our culture. The bigger picture, the loving mercy of God.